What if I told you everything you know about the world is wrong? What if I told you that all the things you believe to be impossible are in fact very much possible?
Reality is not what you think it is. It is so much more complicated, fascinating, and above all, terrifying.
We are at the fringes of the map.
And there's more than just dragons.
You're going to be driving past the Ranger Admin building. Mm-hmm. Are you the sort of person who might stop? You know that tonight is, what is today? Today's, I think, a Tuesday.
Yeah.
Every Tuesday, all the Rangers get together for like a dinner thing.
Yeah.
You could stop in at that if you wanted to, but if you're not the sort of person who does that, that's fine.
There's a dinner at the station. You're welcome to join.
I could definitely look at something like that. They got a couple of drinks there as well.
There'll be drinks.
Yeah.
I'm still a bit shaken from this whole thing. I'm trying to act like I'm cool.
I'll get on the radio.
Whatever, it's fine.
Sue Ellen, this is Cannonball.
Yeah.
Got another guest for dinner tonight. Bringing the paper man, the journalist from Vancouver.
Or Houston. Chronicle.
Down to the stations. You can make sure there's a place for him. Appreciate him.
He bringing a Houston appetite?
Well, let me check. You bringing a Houston appetite?
I'm not even sure what that means, but I'm bringing it, yeah.
He says he is. Didn't find nothing down by the river. We can check in the morning, I guess.
Long and short, report the same, over. Yeah, see you soon.
Yeah, all right. I'll put it back and drive to the station.
You arrive back at the Ranger Station. Mm-hmm. Ranger Station is three buildings. It is the main admin building, which is one of those, you know, there's like temp buildings that are, so it's like a temporary building that was on wheels, but then the wheels have been taken off and it's kind of become a
part of the building. Part of the structure. Yeah.
There is a massive Ranger Tower. So, like, just a simply enormous tower that would afford a decent view of most of Salt Fork, and incorporated into it is the radio antenna. And then finally, there is a building that is a motor pool. So there's a bunch of old, beat-up sort of Jeeps sitting there, maybe a tow truck, and just whatever various other vehicles you might need in the course of your job.
Hell yeah.
The lights are on at the admin building, but everything else is dark.
I'll pull into the motor pool and get on out.
Yeah,
this way. Dingle, dingle, dingle. Open the door.
All right.
Take off my hat. I imagine I got like one of those broad-rimmed Rangers hats.
Yeah, 100%.
Hang it on like a little hat rack or whatever.
There's maybe like a string where there's a hook, and above every hook there's a little name tag.
That rules.
That's so good.
Put it there. Brush my hair, which I imagine is kind of balding. Like, you know, like a balding widow's peak?
Yeah.
That kind of, yeah. Brush my hair. And at this point, I think, because like I can see all the other Rangers, I've started to ignore you, Connor.
Connor, immediately as you walk in, you see that in the center of this space, there's all of the desks here have all been pushed together, and then Indian food has been laid out in the middle. There's a bunch of people sitting around, and then one person, who you assume is the radio operator, because you've heard her voice a few times, and she's the only woman here, is sitting separately from everyone else by a desk at the front door. So she'd be like physically the closest to you right now. She's got like a big old-fashioned ham radio that has some cords that snake off away somewhere. And she's got a little meal all to her own just right in front of her. She has one of those like classic big buns with gray hair that's kind of like stuck up at the Hell top or whatever. And she has what you must describe as a perpetual scowl. Then all the Rangers around the table, you notice, not to your surprise, you are completely unshocked that the long and short of it somehow got here first.
Those motherfuckers.
Tom Long is, as I said previously, is the newbie. He's the youngest among you. He'd be in his 20s, maybe early 20s even. His uniform is by far the cleanest in a serious way. There's not a single burn on his uniform.
Unlike the many burns on everyone else.
Then Harry Short is the old grizzled veteran. He has been here the longest and is definitely the oldest. Have you ever seen The Hobbit, the movie?
Yeah.
So you know that the old dwarf from The Hobbit?
Yes.
So imagine if the old dwarf from The Hobbit was a man.
That rules. Nice. That's so good.
He is maybe literally smoking from a pipe, and every now and then he leans over and spits, and you hear a p-ting. There is James Lancaster, who is maybe the most normal looking human being here. He might be in his 30s or 40s. And yeah, that's it.
As I like sit down at the, I assume the table we're eating around is like maybe two tables pushed together or something like that. As I sit down, I'd like to be like, long and short, you take care of that boundary surveying.
Do you address it to either one of them specifically?
Just to both of them, probably.
Tom Long looks up from like a mouthful of, I don't even know, naan or something like that. And looks over at Harry Short. Harry Short looks back at you and with a wiry smile says, reckon might be done tomorrow. A line that he has been delivering to you since 1999.
I like him, like just like a dirty look, don't start to dig into the Indian food. Like, God damn it. God damn it. No one's ever going to do that boundary work. God.
Everybody always comes back to Cannonball.
What would you like to do, Connor?
Look, I'm just following and kind of sitting and politely being like, hey, everyone, how you doing? I do a general sort of, like, who looks like I would greet, I guess. I would walk in. I'd be polite.
Tom Long still has that mouthful of food, but when you greet everyone, he gives you like a polite nod. Like he's, you know, he's young and energetic. James Lancaster, when you look at him, he gives you a polite nod as well. He is maybe, like I said, the most normal looking being here. You probably feel like you could have a conversation with this person. If you glance over at Sue Ellen, she does not look up. And then Harry Short, the grizzled old veteran. See, it looks like two cannonballs sitting side by side.
All right.
Well, Make of that what you will.
Yeah. I'm going to grab some food and go and sit. Would anyone be drinking?
Yeah, they're all having like a beer or something.
All right. Well, Cannonball is joking. We should grab a drink and...
You're welcome.
There's a fridge with beers in it.
I point to the fridge. Get me a Diet Coke.
Can't have caffeine on the day you had beans.
I know the perfect chemical makeup my stomach needs to be right now.
Well, I guess I just shout. Does anyone else want one while I'm down there?
James Lancaster looks over at you and says, yeah, I'd love one. Thanks.
All right, no worries. So I go grab a beer for Diet Coke for Cannonball and then two beers. I give him his thing and then I go over and give it to James Lancaster and say hi. I'm like, hey, how you doing there?
James Lancaster, maybe the seat that was saved for you or whatever is directly across from him. Yeah. He leans backwards and you see him kick underneath the table and then the chair that would be yours juts out a little bit. Grab a seat.
He's cool.
We got a cool gentleman
ranger,
over here.
Yeah.
Fuck. What'd I get stuck with Cannonball? Nah, I'm all right. He's all right.
He's a good
Cannonball
good
treat you all right?
Yeah. No, he's been real nice, actually. Yeah, he had to give you a bit of a...
What'd you do to him? James turns to you, Cannonball. Look at him. He's terrified.
He saw a ghost. Get out of my hair.
Nah, nothing. I think I had a bit too much of that Ohio
I'd say 2-3 swigs of the Ohio Black. And somehow he is not dead.
James Lancaster nods. That's impressive.
It's a lot of, it's certainly a lot of it, yeah.
My dad had a bottle of that when I was growing up. Me and my mates would just take a swig from it and then we'd be done, you know?
Good for the night.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I kind of wish I'd done the same, to be honest.
Good for the night, done for the night.
It's called black. You just get blackout.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely.
Instant black.
You know, I maybe like threw a mouthful of a papadom or something. I'm like, oh, we didn't see nobody down by the river. Got too dark. We'll check again in the morning. Probably just a camper overturned a boat or some such.
Yeah. We'll give it a shot. Well, look, sorry I couldn't help today. Yeah. I was up out in town helping out with the wife. I'll look tomorrow. Don't worry about it. You're leading him around. I can do it.
Much appreciated.
I'm not sure if I would be very loquacious about my experience down at the... I guess I could be... I'm still shaken by it.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I think I'd just be quiet about it. I think I'd just be like, yeah, I just... I got to not drink like that. That Ohio Black's crazy for me, James. That's... So how's your day?
Yeah, can't complain. Mrs., we're getting ready. We got a Halloween. Halloween's happening at our place this year. And it's, it's probably going to be a bit rowdy. We got basically the entire neighborhood's going to be over. So right, we, right. I literally, you know the Jeep I use, mm-hmm. Antifube, yeah. Mm. The Jeep I use, basically the entire back of that thing, full, packed to the brim with supplies. Going all out this year, apparently.
That's great. This during that story, I've finished my beer and I'm like, would you like another one? I'm just going to go grab one for myself.
I think, look, hey, take this as it may be, but if you've had two swigs of black, you might want to go easy on the beer. I'd let it settle first.
All right.
See how it feels in your gut.
All right, I'll just have some.
But if you're getting another beer, I'll have one.
Well, it's always good to be prepared. I go back, I grab two more beers, and I come back. Here you go. Yeah. You know what? Now I've loosened up a bit.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah, it's just sort of something weird down at the lake there. You ever heard of it? It's some sort of Baliano, Italian man. I don't know. Have you ever heard anything like that? Some sort of man who's...
James shakes his head. No. While James is replying, Tom Long... takes a big swallow to clear his throat of naan bread and says, I know.
What was that? Who are you?
You talking about Badliana?
I don't know. Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I know who he is.
Well, who's that? Who's
you're
going to build up to this or something?
he's the spirit of the workers or whatever.
Oh, this nonsense.
So you were there? You saw the monument?
Yeah, I was down there.
There was a cave-in, yeah. Because, what is it, the company, Eerie or whatever their name is, they ordered them to use too much dynamite to blow out the hole. And Badliana, he was like the only one there who had any demolitions experience. And he told them it was too much. And they forced him to go down there and do it anyway. And he died along with a bunch of others.
Right. This is all news to me. Okay.
You gotta watch out. He'll come after you.
What do you mean he'll come after you?
I don't know. Okay. It's just something we used to tell each other.
It's something the kids say to each other. It ain't true. So,
Tom Long returns to his butter chicken.
I'm sitting there just still a bit thrown by fucking this information that's getting thrown at me. But right. Okay.
Oh, that reminds me. We got a track down for Mr. Houston here. Smiley. If anybody remembers or knows where he's at these days.
Pa-ting! Short turns around. Up at the marina, isn't he?
Well, I thought that was only where Conrad was. They both at the marina.
Yeah, they're both at the marina. They're, hanging out.
And then I'd just like to really slowly swivel in my chair and turn to you, Connor, and be like, well, there you go. Both at the marina. Hanging Pa-ting! Out.
Fishing trip.
Makes right. a lot of sense.
I guess we can go check that out. It's, yeah, right.
You look tired.
I'm still trying to, like, I've been one man. I'm like, oh, right, actually, right, the burn, the fire.
Do you remember when I saw that UFO back in 86? I say to everyone.
Tom Long shakes his head, but everyone else nods with varying amounts of enthusiasm, depending on how physically close they are to you.
I was up near Montrose. Someone had reported a cougar up that way. Cougars don't come here, but I checked it out nonetheless. And I'm up in the wilderness up there, you understand, by myself, a younger man in those days. And all of a sudden, I look down at my watch, and the hands are spinning like crazy, like a windmill. And then above me, as though it were daytime, light shining down upon me. Wake up 24 hours later, no memory of any of the events. Crazy.
That's...
And I got this scar. I'd like to, like, lift up my Rangers uniform to just reveal, like, a tiny divot in my big belly that could have come from literally anything.
When he lifts up his shirt to show everyone his belly, you notice that Sue Ellen looks over. All right, you show everyone your belly?
Yeah, I put it down.
That's a great... I don't even know what to do with that information.
First time it looks like she's shown interest in your conversation all night.
All right, I think I'm going to park that. Not to be brought up at the table in polite company so far. I was thinking, probably mention the cannonball later, though.
Well, right. That is to say that things like science, extraterrestrials, I can get behind, but Pagliacci or whatever down by the lake. You know.
Well, look, I'm not saying I definitely saw something, but I mean, I don't know.
You look tired. Anyway,
let's get out of here.
You want to pack it in for the night? I think we're going to head off. Maybe. I'd like to collect some Indian food and a little, like, some of the tin foil or whatever to take with me.
You know, I'll grab some. I'll just grab a couple of travelers from the fridge. Yeah, that's what I do.
All right.
Yeah.
So, where are you taking him?
Well, where are you staying?
The only motel in town.
Yeah. If it is the only motel in town, I'll be like,
you'd be staying at the Pontiac then.
And as we're leaving, actually, one thing that I will maybe just be a bit cheeky as we're leaving, I'm just like, hey, Cannibal, you're going to say bye to Sue Allen as well on the way out.
You can know what he's talking about or not. I leave that up to Cannonball.
I like look at you with like a quizzical look or whatever, and then I'm like, she knows I'm leaving. I imagine this is the kind of thing that maybe Cannonball is aware of, but he's like, I'm 60. I'm not interested anymore. You know.
Yeah,
I don't know what my life's about at this point. I don't want to start a romance.
All right. Well,
who said anything about romance?
Mercy.
Oh, Lord.
So you take him to the Ponte. Oh, well, I suppose you take him back to his car because he's not parked.
True, true.
Yeah.
Maybe you were staying with somebody here.
No, I didn't actually. I just assumed there'd be a motel or something in town.
That'd be the Pontiac.
All right. Let's.
Follow me behind, I suppose. I'll lead you there.
So I wouldn't mention it because I'm getting away with it, but he's pretty chill about the fact that I'm shit-faced and driving. Because I'm definitely up for driving.
Well, 2 to 3 swigs of Ohio Black, plus about 2 beers with dinner. But also Cannonball wants to go home.
Nice.
But if something happens,
it's
that's...
on Cannonball.
Yeah.
Well, how about you've had a few? How about I drive you there in the morning? I'll come pick you up, drive you to your car.
Oh, no, Cannibal. No need for that.
All right, I'm
a gentleman.
Perfect. Beautiful. I love this.
Okay. All right, just take me to the car. I'll follow behind you.
All right, I'll do that then.
You eventually arrive at the Pontiac.
Mm-hmm.
You maybe saw this on the way in, and you didn't think... So you drove past this on the way in, and you didn't think it was a motel. You thought it was like some sort of weird museum or tourist stop or something like that. But as you approach it, now with most of its neon lights lit up, you can see that it must indeed be a motel. It says, sure enough, in neon, Pontiac Motel, and there is a giant fiberglass Pontiac sitting on top of the main building. It looks like it was angled so that someone could infer that it was ramping off the edge of the building, like the building has that sort of a curve to it. But it is too poorly made to really say.
As we like walk in, I'll point up to it and be like, back in 57, the Pontiac was going to have a festival to announce the 67 model, but
67 model in 52.
Interesting. Yeah. A good choice.
Yeah.
The 57 model in 57.
Yeah, the 57 model. It was between us and Montrose as to who got it. And we built this. Perhaps a little early.
You didn't end up getting it.
Well, no.
You would also know, maybe, this is just an extra funny caveat, that it was a regular motel. And then the then owner was bullied into doing this.
There was some talk about having a big James Dean as well. I think we only got the legs done, and then we found out.
You can see where the legs would have gone.
Yeah.
Like the bolt attachment thing.
I don't think town pride has ever been lower than when we lost that competition.
Fucking incredible.
It's just so funny to imagine for like years afterwards, Winterset experienced a, just the lowest town pride it's ever had.
And yet they kept the motel. They couldn't be bothered fixing it.
Inside, there is a man sitting at a desk, and in front of him, there's like a teeny tiny little black and white portable radio TV. The man's like trying to fiddle with the aerials, and you're not 100% sure what he... You are shocked that there is still analog signal in 2015. You're not sure exactly what he's trying to pick up, but he isn't getting it, whatever it is.
What's the guy's name?
Dave Buster.
Buster. How you doing?
He like hitches up his pants, looks over at you. We got a customer.
Mm-hmm. He needs a place to stay for a while, I suppose.
It's just a few days there, Dave. Buster, is it?
You got a Dave. He leans across, and as his arm comes up a little bit, you smell BO.
I'm like, oh, how you doing there, Dave? It's a heady brew, but I'm not going to make a comment of it.
It's a heady brew. Fuck it out.
That's good.
Christ.
Fuck. I'm not going to make a scene of it because you know, it's standard. So I can't imagine Cannonball's the most, the cleanest smelling individual either. So.
He gives you, you know, that firm handshake, that sort of firm handshake. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He gives you that sort of firm handshake.
Like, all right, so... Oh, you got a bit of grip on you there, don't you, Buster?
Oh, it's a old family secret, he says.
Well, you got to tell me about that family secret sometime. Oh, I'm going to need to put that on ice.
It's you're not you don't get chosen, you're born with it.
I love Buster so much. Oh my god!
Then he, there's like a board or whatever above him, above the desk that he's at, and he reaches up above that. Another wave of BO, and he fishes around and he looks at you and says, "Any preference for keys? Rooms, numbers?
For keys is so funny.
Whatever you got that's close to the car park is fine with me." I imagine I'm looking around and there is no one in this place. This motel is empty.
It's probably not peak season right now. You're not sure what peak season would be around here, but it definitely isn't now.
Yeah.
And when you say anything near the car park, he gives you his eyebrow slightly twitches upwards. And maybe you think about how they're all just in front of the car park.
That's true, yeah.
But then he keeps rooting around and he comes out with, whoever cares, he comes out with number four and he hands it to you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Boston.
I think the bed's working in that one.
Well, if everything else is squared away here, I'll see you in the morning. Call it 11.
Beautiful. Love it. Cut it, print it, that send it to the fucking presses.
That is the laziest ranger.
I'm in charge too, which is so fucked up.
Yeah. I mean, all right, I see you at 11 then, I guess.
Go down to the marina, or you want to go look at anything else? We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out tomorrow. Let's not bug ourselves down tonight.
Sleep well.
You too. I'll see you later.
As you leave the admin building, getting ready to split up for the night, both of you spot a few kids walking down the street here. So the Pontiac is a bit out of town, and even in rural towns like this, sidewalks are not a very common thing. So out here on this road outside of town, there is just no sidewalk. So the kids are kind of just walking, not in the middle of the street, like they're being a little street smart, but they are nonetheless really far from anywhere where they might need to be, which is a little strange.
Yeah.
But you don't necessarily think much of it, or you might, that's up to you. They are all dressed in Halloween costumes. You think they might be going to some sort of party? Well, actually, Connor, you could think that they're going to a party, but Cannonball,
yeah,
there's no houses. They're not walking to any house.
Do I think it's like not suspicious in that something, you know, untoward is happening, but suspicious in that I'm like, these kids are going to go graffiti or throw rocks at a sign or something.
They could be going to graffiti. They look quite young. Even at a distance, you could tell they're between 10 to 13 or something like that. They could be going to, there's a lot of woods around here, and you know that kids like to have parties around here. Although even for that, they are quite young. There's three of them. You spot one of them is dressed as a mummy. One of them is dressed as a Frankenstein. One of them is dressed as an astronaut.
Yeah.
And then one of them is dressed as a ghost, which is just a sheet over their head. They are by far the smallest.
Mm-hmm.
They might even be younger than 10 for how big they are.
What time is it?
It would be maybe, or you had dinner as well. It's maybe like 9 or 10.
You get on to your room. I'm just going to make sure everything's okay up here.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm going to make sure. I'm like, you see those kids there, right, Cannonball? I'm not seeing something.
No, those kids are real. Probably going to go throw rocks at a sign.
It's funny to imagine that's just one of the things I hate the most in this town. Radio, I'll walk up the road to the kids. Excuse me there, youngins.
When you tell them to stop, you see they freeze like deers in the headlights. Or the two kids, the one that's covered in a sheet, can't really tell anything about their body language. They're too obscured. Yeah. But the two kids that you can see properly freeze like deers in the headlights, like they've been caught doing something. And when they turn to look at you, you can see there is a brief moment of like, do we run?
You're not in trouble now. Not in trouble now. Just it's a little bit late. Your parents around anywhere?
As you get closer, you see the one dressed as an astronaut is John Lancaster, who's James's eldest.
I know James is probably still at the station, don't I?
No, James probably left at about the same time you did, so he is probably at home by now. He lives in Winterset.
Your daddy know you're out there, John?
John nods. Yeah. You need to make a empathy wits again, but plus one because a child is not good at this. No successes.
Yeah, it could be.
Well,
he could be.
As long as he knows, you're not going out to throw rocks at a sign, are you?
No. John shakes his head.
I look in the direction they're going. Is there literally any buildings beyond here they could be going to?
There are road signs that they could be going to. But as far as buildings are concerned, no, you don't think there's any buildings, or at least not within walking distance.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, what are you doing then?
Where John looks at the other kid who you also recognize, Luke Brown. He is John's neighbor.
Okay.
Luke and John look at each other, and then Luke responds to you. We're just going for a walk, he says. Luke's an even worse liar. I'm not even going to roll. You just know that they're lying.
Come on now. It's 9 p.m. Turn around. Head back into town. Ain't nothing for you out there.
Okay. Just for a little while. Can we go? He says.
Maybe I like that on my rapidly cooling Indian food.
While you're having this conversation, the kid dressed as a ghost walks past you.
Hey now, little chicken.
They're the kid as a ghost isn't walking the way they were going before.
Yeah.
The kid dressed as a ghost is walking towards the Pontiac.
Well, maybe it is worthwhile we get into the light. Let me just call your daddy, make sure everything's okay.
Do you have to?
Well, I kind of do, son. I get it. You want to go out there and have a little adventure, so it's fine. But we just got to make sure you're safe about it. I did the same. I'd like to just turn around and stop.
John looks at you really pleadingly and says, please?
Oh, now. Look, I was young once, too. All right, you're going to be safe, though. Yeah.
Have you been moving back towards the Pontiac?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, well, you're all walking back to the Pontiac. The kid dressed as a ghost is way out in front. The kid dressed as a ghost gets into the parking lot and walks right up to your Land Cruiser.
You're right there, kid. Hold on. Stay here in the light, I say to Luke and John, and I'm going to move over to the ghost by my Land Cruiser.
So I've been sitting in my place, right? I went back to my place. So I'm hearing this now.
Yeah, when they get back to the parking lot, you can hear them. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, and I'm still up because I'm just drinking and stuff, just finishing up these beers. So I'm like, oh, what's that? I walk outside as well. Just to check what's going on.
You step outside.
Yeah.
You see the little kid dressed as a ghost get right up to the car. You can see that a hand doesn't come out from under the sheet, but it like from the sheet presses up against the car.
You like the Land Cruiser, kid?
They turn to you and they give you no response. Then John from behind you says, she doesn't speak much.
Okay. Who are you now? Who are they?
She's River.
Do I know a River?
You don't know a kid named River in Winterset. Mm. They could be from a nearby town.
Not from around here, I say to Luke.
I think their parents live out in, like a cabin or something.
That's possible. All right, you stay here. I'm going to go call your parents. I'd like to go into the Pontiac. Okay. I'm not paying attention to them while they're out there, though.
All right. Do you keep paying attention to them?
I'm walking with you. I'm like, what's going on here?
Just some kids.
Cannonball.
Loitering. Hey there, Buster. Can I use the phone?
Buster, still trying to fix the TV aerial, just...
Okay.
Would you take as a yes?
Yeah, I'll like lean over the counter, pick up the phone. I imagine it's like a dial phone.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's an old rotary phone. Yeah. The handle is a Pontiac.
I hate this. I can never get a good grip. Okay.
All right,
put it to my ear and I'll dial James's home phone number.
Sure.
And I've stepped outside. I'm just having a cigarette. I'm right. Like, yeah, so I'm up now. So I'm like, yeah.
You see, you're too far away to hear what they're... Oh, actually, no, I'll get you to... What's your wits composure?
5.
I'm going to negative 2.
I better not see more ghost shit. This is too much on my first night.
What are you defining as ghost shit, dude? All right. So one of them is dressed as a ghost.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Negative 2 because you're at a distance, but I'll get you to make... Oh, fucking hell, good job. You see that the kid, River, you probably heard their name, the kid dressed as a ghost turns to John and Luke, whose names I guess you don't know, but turns to the other two kids and says, circle.
All right. I'm just smoking. I'm like, that's fucking weird.